My scripture reading is in Acts, starting at chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." And with many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for each one that's here. We ask, Lord, that you will let your Holy Spirit be in our presence and be guiding our thoughts and our words, be guiding our hearing. And Heavenly Father, let everything be done to your praise and glory and everything understood as you would have. And Heavenly Father, in all these things we give you praise and honor. And in the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask and amen. My text is the verse 41 of chapter 2 of Acts. And that reads, "So then, those who had received his words were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." Jesus spoke these words of his church in Matthew 16, 18 and 19. I'd like to go there and us look at that together. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," or hell, "will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." When we examine those words, we realize that Jesus explained that his church would have its foundation in the Word of God, and that the powers of hell would never overpower it. Also, these words let us know that special power from God would be given to the disciples of Jesus and his followers as they, as his command was when he went back to the Father, his command was that they go into all the earth, into all the nations of the earth, into the furthermost corners of the earth, teaching and baptizing. And my message to you today, and what I want you to think about, and what I want you to get from the Scripture and the thoughts and the words that we bring, the title is The First Christian Church. And we read of that first Christian church, of course, starting in Acts and in our words of Jesus Christ to His followers. From the Word of God, we know that the first Christian church was formed of people called by God. They were gathered by God. They were obedient to God's call in their life. They were not just any people. They were a peculiar people. And that word peculiar is used in other places in the Bible. Special, because it refers to a people that is God's people. They're a peculiar people. They are called by God. They are separate. This group of people had no special name in the beginning, or denomination, no particular meeting place, no formal methods or programs or techniques. They simply had heard of Jesus Christ and of the reason that He was here, who He was. They heard of His miracles, what He had done, what He was saying. And in Matthew 16 and 17, let's look at that. Matthew 16 and 17. And Jesus said to him, speaking to Simon Peter, "Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but My Father who is in heaven." And when God calls people, when He gathers His people, when His people hear that tug from the Holy Spirit, calling them to be a son of the Almighty Creator, then they have that love of Jesus. They're called by that Holy Spirit of God. That's what tugs at their hearts. That's what brings them to God. They also had common the love of Christ in their hearts. So they were called not by flesh and blood, but My Father calls. My Father and His love for His children and the love of Jesus Christ in carrying out the plan of His Father. Secondly, the first Christian church was taught from the holy words of Scripture. And what was that at that time? The people was taught from the Scriptures. The Scriptures were read. And what was read was the Torah, the prophets, Psalms, and some other books. We read of in the New Testament testimonies to that from several sources, from different places in the Bible. But let's see what the prophet Joel says in Acts 2 and verse 16. Let's go to that. Acts 2 and verse 16. And let's see. And see reinforcement. See proof of where the scriptures came from that they were being presented by the people at that time before any part of the New Testament was written. So the scriptures were read, and those scriptures were what they had, which came from what we call the Old Testament. Acts 2:16. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And of course, they're speaking of the day of Pentecost. They're speaking of when the Holy Spirit was poured out. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God said, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Excuse me. Isn't that wonderful? Those words. And so we find in those that particular series of verses, a reading of the Old Testament, a reading of what the prophet Joel from the Old Testament said was going to happen. And it was declared that this day of Pentecost, this special day in which the miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit was done, was given, this was the fulfillment of that prophecy of Joel. So this was part of the scriptures that the people were getting at that particular moment. Let's go to Acts 3 and also see something here that reflects Jesus Christ coming and Him being the stone that was rejected by the builders, and being the rock upon which His church would be founded. He Himself being that stone, and He Himself being the rock. So let's go to Acts 3:17. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that His Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you, upon whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from ancient times. Now listen to this. This is in your New Testament. This is in Acts. And it's saying, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And likewise, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and his successors onward also announce these days. It is you who are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. Do you see? We are using Scripture in the New Testament, recounting and reviewing Scriptures from the Scripture, the only Scripture that they had at that time in Jesus' days, being the Old Testament. And we're speaking of Jesus, of Him being the one that will turn the hearts of the people, that was sent to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. The stone that was rejected. Let's go to Acts 4 and verse 11. Acts 4 and 11. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Let's go to Psalms, deep in the Old Testament. Psalms 118 and 22. Let's see what it says about this. Psalms 118 and 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Do you get the connection? It is that Jesus Christ is in the plan of Almighty God, and that it was that He was to come and to fulfill the plan of God, but that He would be rejected, and He was. He would be killed, and He was. But He also would be resurrected, just as we are to be at that point in time. Let's go to Matthew 21 and 42. Matthew 21, 42. Jesus said to them, did you never read the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Let's go to Mark 12 and 10. Have you not even read this Scripture? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. And this came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. How about Luke 20, 17? Luke 20 and 17. But Jesus looked at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the plan. Jesus is the stone that was rejected. Jesus is the rock upon whom the church was built, His church. And we need to recognize what his church is like, the characteristics of his church. And the first one was that it was formed by people called by God. They had no denomination. They had no name at that time. But they had common characteristics. And one of those was the love for Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 Peter 2 and 4. 1 Peter 2, 4. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. Yes, Jesus was God's only begotten Son. And Jesus was the prime part of God's plan for salvation. It was through His blood, through His sacrifice, that we have salvation. We have forgiveness of our sins. And we are called to be one of Almighty God's literal sons and daughters. Let's look at Acts 2. Let's look at 1 Peter 2 and 7. Let's see what 1 Peter 2, 7 says. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. You know, the rulers of Jesus' time in the religious part of society, these rulers are the ones, the very ones that rejected him. His followers accepted him. His disciples accepted him. They understood that he came from God and that he was here to fulfill the plan of God. But to the others, to the religious element, the hierarchy of that time, he was the stone, the cornerstone that was rejected. So what did the first Christian church, what was used by them as scriptures? The Torah. The old, what we call, and most people today, mainstream Christianity, the Old Testament. That's where the scriptures came from. And I'm giving you examples of that. Also, the first Christian church was said to have devout men from every nation under heaven. Those were the ones that was called by God. Let's look at Acts 2 and 5. Let's go there, back there in Acts 2 and 5. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. Do you see what the first Christian church was comprised of? It was formed of. It had within it. And on this day of Pentecost, the ones who received the message, the ones who received the gift of the Holy Spirit from God at Pentecost were devout men from every nation under heaven. Let's go to Acts 8. Let's skip down to verse 8 there in Acts 2. And how is it that we each hear in our own language to which we were born? And this was the ones on the day of Pentecost that was part of the miracle that was prophesied by Joel. This was part of the ones that were there on that day of Pentecost. And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya, around Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God. This was the pouring out of the miraculous Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. This is what the description was. And of course, these were the people that were of the first Christian church. They were comprised of people from all places on the earth, all languages, nationalities, I would say colors, races. And fourthly, the first Christian church also had the distinct characteristic, just as we should have, of being devoted to prayer and worshiping God, assembling together, as the Scriptures let us know, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together in worship to Almighty God. Let's look at what James 5 and 16 says. James 5 and 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The first church was devoted to prayer. Well, each one of us need to have that same devotion and know that there is power in prayer. And when we unite in prayer on anything that anyone has need of, there is absolutely supernatural power from on high through prayer. Let's look and see what Acts 1 and 14 lets us know. We're speaking of the first Christian church and what it was and what all churches should be like in following that same pattern. Acts 1:14. These all with one mind. That means unity, people. Unity. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Prayer was a very essential element in the first Christian church. Let's go to Acts 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Do you see the assembly? Do you see the unity? Just like us this morning, we're all together in one place. And hopefully in unity, hopefully with our hearts and minds, on Jesus Christ and on our Almighty Father God, the Yahweh of old. And fifthly, the first Christian church was miraculously filled with the Spirit. The people of that church heard the Word of God, heard the words of the prophet Joel, and were recipients of the Holy Spirit as they tarried and waited, as Jesus had instructed them to do, with their hearts and their minds on God and on spiritual things. God sent the miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit at that time, as recorded in Acts 2. Let's go to Acts 2 and start at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues as a fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Let's skip down to verse 14. And we're reading of the first great miraculous outpouring that was prophesied by the prophet Joel from the Old Testament and from the words of Jesus. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared unto them, Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known unto you, and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God said, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Let's read a little further. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The first church received the pouring out of the Holy Spirit from God. And each one who devotes themselves to God and is called by God and answers that call, each one of you is promised in the Scriptures that as you are saved, you receive the gift of the Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with that comes the other promises. With that comes power from on high, granted by God. Let's read of that power. Let's go to Acts 1 and verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. This is promised to those that receive power from on high, the ones that receive salvation, the ones that receive the Holy Spirit. And where are you to witness? Power will be given to work for God and to witness. Power, both to witness and to work in homes in marketplaces, in synagogues, on busy highways, anywhere that people gathered, God could use His children to bring the good news of the kingdom of God to anyone that would open their hearts and their minds to Him. They were witnessing with simplicity. They were witnessing by practical means, purposeful methods. They were witnessing of God's love, of His plan. They were witnessing of His loving Son, Yeshua, dying, shedding His blood as the perfect sacrifice, as the final sacrifice for their sins. That is the final blood sacrifice. Jesus paid it all. Jesus fulfilled the plan of His Father. And lastly, the first Christian church was a church that was called, and its people was called, to break unjust barriers. And what are we talking about here? Perhaps some of us have some awfully important things to do for God. Something that perhaps mainstream Christianity doesn't go along with, doesn't see. But perhaps it's up to us to allow God's Holy Spirit to work through us so that their eyes might be open to some of the truth that they have not yet seen. That first Christian church had people, and the church itself was called to break unjust barriers between male and female. Females were not treated well at all, treated unfairly. The balance was not there between what men could do and women. So those kind of barriers had to be put in the balance. There were political barriers. Israel was being occupied by the Romans, and they had to endure unjust treatment. So some of these barriers needed breaking. What about economic barriers this church was called to look at and to try to do something about? Unfair economic barriers. And what I'm speaking of is that the wealthy kept the poor in poverty. We could say that is happening today. I think if all of us opened our eyes about what is going on in our economy and in the world today, we could see that it's just as it was in the old days. A lot has not changed in that respect. Perhaps God is going to call us to do something miraculous to help the balances between the wealthy and the poor. Barriers, unjust barriers, then as well as now, need to be broken. What about the racial barriers? What about the issue of the Jews and the Gentiles and how the Jews thought of the Gentiles? Almost as not human. That's how the Jews thought of the Gentiles. Those kind of barriers had to be broken. And that's why Peter seen the vision. Do you remember the sheet being let down from heaven with all kind of unclean animals in there? Peter was shown the vision. The barrier needed to be broken between how the Jewish people thought about people that wasn't Jewish. That barrier needed to be broken. The balance needed to be set right. And so Peter concluded to all that God is letting me know that I should not call anyone that is not a Jew common or unclean. Not animals, not anything to do with eating, not anything to do with clean and unclean foods or the dietary laws. Not at all what Peter was given the vision for. Just that barrier needed to be set straight. And that was part of the first Christian church's calling. Philip and the Ethiopian. The barriers needed to be set straight. Our church today is called also similarly in a lot of these respects. We need to have people called by God who has heard the voice of God and the tug of the Holy Spirit in their heart and life. They need to take the calling sincerely. They need to take it seriously. They need to react to it. And each day and each moment of their life, they need to react respectfully and solemnly, sacredly to this calling of God to them to be His people. We need to have a close prayer life. We need to worship often. We need to let that Holy Spirit work in our heart and in our life. And we need to witness wherever and whenever we can. Let others know of God's plan. Let others know of Jesus and how He shed His blood so that each one of us may have that hope of living forever in God's kingdom and salvation and eternal life. There is a better way. And I want you to see today that this early church was led by God, was called by God, was gathered by God, was given by His people at that time, including the disciples, was given the scriptures by which they could be saved. And those scriptures were from what mainstream Christianity considers to be the Old Testament. But to us, it is just the Word of God, just as the rest of the Word of God, just as new, no old. It's all the Word of God. And let's all accept it just as such. And let's make our Christian life just like the life of these people that was part of the first Christian church. If you would, stand with me. And let's read the blessing of God to us and our blessing to each other. Let's all read together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. And bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this.